Yes, we have another edition of the Fraudcast live from the Fraud Quarters. This is your motorcycle and Jew Ben. We have super blogger Vince, who's actually wearing blogging slacks.
They're my blogging slacks.
They're pinstriped.
They are. It's like half a zoot suit.
He's growing up so much.
It's an oot suit.
Hey man, who stole me other half of my zoot suit?
We have Bearded Brett is
he
in the house.
You got the big lapels and the double breasts.
That was Bearded Brett laughing.
Yeah.
We have Unbearded Brendan.
Hi.
And then Vince is making so many friends. We're so proud of him. Comedian Leslie.
Small.
Small.
Leslie Small.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Leslie Big or anyone else.
And then not even Leslie Medium.
No, she's not even funny.
That fuck bitch. Leslie Medium.
She is such a whore.
So she is in studio in Fraud Quarters. Vince and Leslie, was there a special show? Was it a showcase you met at? Or is it just an open mic? How did this work?
Well, it's a pretty small, like, incestuous group of people when you get down to it. So you see the same people over and over.
Same four.
You catch them fucking their sisters.
Absolutely. Mm.
That's what's so incestuous about it.
Hey, stop. You want to be on my broadcast?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all just a bunch of freaks. It was a song.
Get off my sister and into my studio
stop
to
tripping.
Record some hilarity.
Stop tripping and start broadcasting.
We're going to have another edition of Hot Goss with Bernsey.
Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
And,
I think he might have even created a sound drop for us for that.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm already excited.
Right?
And Leslie's going to introduce us to Inside Indie, all the indie bands that you haven't heard of but want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be very exciting.
Man, you did that well.
Yeah, I know. All right, I'm going to go. Thanks, guys. It's been fun. Vince even watched all of the Oscars and probably blacked out. Because he played his own drinking game by himself.
You are a fucking
that's,
masochist.
By the way, that's dedication to the craft.
I was really drunk. I'll just put it that way.
You created a drinking game. I came home, and he's playing it by himself. And he's like, I'm really drunk. Oh, fuck. You mentioned the whole movie reference. I got to drink again.
You got to lead by example.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You do this every year, and you hate the Oscars. And you pick these games that just make you angrier, right? Like, you pick stuff that you know you're going to be upset about.
So true.
It didn't make me angry. It just made me drunk.
We both know those are one and the same, Vince.
You fucking hate trees when you drink. Who hates trees?
Well, I just hate them the way
you're
they...
You're an angry drunk.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Expresses
I just
his hatred for trees through climbing.
I'm not an angry...
No, he kicks them.
I'm not an
he
angry
kicks them
drunk.
Until they fall.
He climbs trees, too,
he kicked a cedar down one time.
Wow.
I'm a gleefully destructive drunk. That's different than... That's way different than an angry
all right,
drunk.
All right, he's not crying when he does it, so
no.
It's okay.
No, he's not crying.
He's giggling like a son of a bitch.
And very... But you could get a little violent.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Like, that's like hilarious violent, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's only going to hurt himself.
Who doesn't like a broken trachea?
It's true. You're a little more slapstick than graphic in your violence.
Mm. Mm. Slapstick, literally, because the tree, you know, it's like a stick.
Fuck you.
So, Vince, how are the Oscars? Because I didn't watch a second of them. They seemed really exciting.
Well, what was your favorite? As someone who didn't watch the Oscars, what was your favorite
part? Well, I liked that they basically just replayed it from 1981 when Billy Crystal first hosted. It was just a complete replay except for a different audience. I liked that. Same movies, too. People didn't even notice.
They did play a montage at the beginning that was like, you know, it had like Forrest Gump and...
released this year. It's still eligible.
They could have played it at any Oscars in the last 10 years, basically.
I wish just once, instead of playing one of their sappy fucking cliched montages, they just play the entire Die Hard movie. They just, you know? Well, they're like, and now something special from Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And then it pans and it's the whole movie.
Yeah, it's the whole movie. And then they could like merge that with the death montage and like every time a terrorist dies, it's like, R.I.P. Hans, you know?
Yes.
And they cut to a headshot and a date.
Yeah.
You know who does like the Oscars, though?
Bernsey?
Lights, Camera, Jackson.
Oh.
Oh,
does he?
God.
Was he invited?
He got invited on Leno to talk about
that. He came at the Oscars?
I don't think...
Isn't he too young?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think he can come at this
Ben
point.
Ben will never pass up an opportunity to giggle at Kame.
It has multiple meanings, Brett. I don't know if you're aware.
It's fairly clever.
We learned about these things called double entendres in comedy
sex
class.
Ed?
Yeah.
No, it was in...
Look, you don't want to catch a double entendre or your dick's going to be shaped weird.
Mm.
So was lights? Sorry, I missed it. Was he at the red carpet?
No, he was on here. I'll play you the clip.
Oh, he's at Leno.
He's on Jay Leno.
Oh,
add Jay Leno to the list of enabling assholes who've encouraged this kid.
What? Leno encouraging that guy? That's really weird.
Leno's not going to be there on the playground when he goes back to school.
Tell me what you thought about
him.
This movie.
Yeah. You've been gone since the last time you were here.
Oh, thank you for having me back on.
It's good to have you. Good to have you. Now, I read you're reviewing movies for Australia, too. Is that correct?
Yes, I do segments for an Australian TV station, the number one Australian morning show, The Morning Show, on Channel 7 in Australia.
Worse?
I do segments for them, which is...
Well, see, the thing is, when you're like a...
How old is he now?
When you're stuck in Arrested 18? Development as like a man-child, but you're in the public eye, somehow your voice doesn't really deepen. It just gets nasalier and nasalier. Yeah.
That is awful.
Yeah,
do you know
he's
13
now. He's on the front cusp of that horrible voice change thing. So I think it's all downhill for him.
This is a little random, but how is your dude Sex Man doing? What's he up to?
I haven't checked in with him.
God.
Thanks for prepping me on this.
Damn.
But, yeah, he did his voice. Lights, Camera, Jackson, I think we first met with him when he was 11. He's 13 now. Kid film critic who's been encouraged by many lazy local TV news producers,
and
I believe.
People like Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Really great.
That's and you won an Emmy. Congratulations.
Yes, thank
excited.
You. Thank you very much.
What did he win an Emmy for?
The world.
What did he win an Emmy for?
What was he even nominated
for?
It was a
New York local Emmy.
Local Peabody?
And
they get their own Emmys?
Every region has like local news Emmys, and he got one for like commentator.
For his zip code.
That's the fucking saddest thing I've ever heard, that you win a local news Emmy. I would rather die than win a local
though
news
I would love to see. I would love to see like the best local news like scare piece. You know? You'll never believe what your children are sticking up their butts now.
The local fear-mongering Emmy goes to...
Exactly. Best fear-mongering goes to WKXP in Buffalo.
Look, I really thought that when I found out that this disease didn't actually exist, that I just wouldn't make it up here to this stage. And I just want to thank everyone involved for freaking the fuck out.
But I would be remiss if I didn't thank whoever made up Jenkum. And whatever African kid fermented poop in a plastic water bottle. I gotta say, it feels pretty good. Thank you.
For Steve Jenkins for his three-part arc on Satanism.
Coming to schools near you. Watch out.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the signs?
Number one, you grow horns. Number two, your skin turns red.
We talked to occult expert Robert Stevenson, who wears a bolo tie. And we met up with him in a darkened room, and this is what he told us.
Look, if your kids are acting weird and are being a little bit awkward, it's probably Satanism.
If your kids don't want to talk to you and they seem withdrawn,
if they're talking on the phone a lot,
they're probably worshiping Satan.
Especially since you're such a hip parent.
Text messaging is a sure sign of Satanism.
If they're wearing dark colors and it's summertime, it's definitely Satanism.
Definitely Satanism.
Watch out for that.
Oh, you got nominated again this year?
Yes, which is great, so thank you. Usually my father and I look into, you know, why it's rated R and if I can really see it. The only Best Picture nominee this year that's rated R is The Descendants, which I really liked, so I was able to see that film.
Okay,
but
you got to
I don't review the Hangovers or the Bridesmaids title.
Oh,
you don't?
So edgy.
No. Okay.
You haven't seen either one of those?
No.
Oh.
He's like getting glass stuck in your brain. Like little tiny shards in your brain.
Such a pretentious little shitbag already.
I want to beat him up now.
Well, that and yes. Everybody wants to take it out on the kid. I kind of blame everyone who's ever put him on TV, like his parents, anyone who's ever thought it was okay to put this kid on TV, and they're like, "Yeah, no, don't say you reviewed Bridesmaids. That's not wholesome. But talk about the Iron Lady for 10 minutes, because that's perfectly normal for a 13-year-old boy."
Well, I mean,
you like books, do you?
Why wouldn't he like an amazing movie like The Iron Lady?
Oh, he talks about what an amazing job that Meryl Streep did.
Did he like it more than you or less than you?
Probably more. I mean, maybe slightly more.
Maybe just a little bit.
More. It's a sliding scale.
Equal to slightly more.
Mm-hmm. You know what would have been awesome is if when Meryl Streep won the Oscar, she got up there and she held her Oscar aloft and grabbed her crotch and went, "Oh, Streep.
She basically did.
Yeah, she basically did.
She was like, "Oh, I feel like people are like, oh, Meryl," and then I'm like, "Fuck it." Like, she was badass about it.
I gotta give Brendan.
Thank you.
Everything that we didn't give you for Joe Rogaine and Good Night and Good Chins, it was all worth it for Austreep, Streep, Streep.
Okay.
Oh, is this his training day?
I
feel vindicated. I feel validated.
Yeah, give us your Oscar speech.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Tell us to fuck off. Tell us to fuck off.
Can I get some music?
He's standing, by the way. He is standing.
I am standing.
Play something.
Yeah, give him
I got no music, man.
With something with orchestra.
Something
with classical music.
Where is it?
It's got to be classical.
No, but it just keeps playing.
We'll just close the window.
Very high tech.
It's not working.
No. Well, you know, I never thought I'd be up here. Not in a million years. Never thought I'd be up here for Joe Rogaine. Never thought I'd be up here for Good Night and Good Chins. Certainly didn't think I'd be up here for Streep, 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 but here I am, and you know, I gotta say, it feels pretty good. And you know, they say that if you want to pursue your dream, you shouldn't, because you probably won't get there. And I'm here to say it probably won't happen for you either, but it happened to me. And so suck my jeans and fuck off, and I'll suck your dick. Thank you.
That was for a lifetime achievement, right?
Yeah.
The first broadcast lifetime achievement award.
Lifetime achievement in punning.
For multiple average jokes.
That I try to lobby because I think they're much funnier than you guys do.
He won a local Emmy for average puns.
That's a local broadcast, right?
By the way, extra broadcast points for the first broadcaster listener to Film Drunkard, set that to Oscar music.
Mm. Yeah, that'll happen, and then they'll just resend it right back to
us. Like when you went too long, like he's going to put it in the middle, and you just got
right. Yes, exactly. Nice.
He won the Frotty.
maybe some applause at the beginning.
The local Frotty.
Some applause at the beginning, and then
So are you guys going to die if I play any more of Lights, Camera, Jackson?
Yeah, just describe the rest of it. To
okay.
Us.
Well, he likes the Iron Lady. He's weird. Shocking. Meredith Vieira can't control like laughing at him.
Is Meredith Vieira the drunk one?
No, that's Hoda.
That's Hoda Kotb.
Yeah, Hoda and Kathy Lee. But Meredith
by a vowel.
Meredith Vieira seems kind of cool. She seems like a hip lady.
Do you think
I'd probably hit that?
Probably or
have previously.
You'd like mom hit it?
Yeah, yeah. I'd hit it and high five my mom about it. She'd be down.
she'd be
proud.
She'd be there. This is getting a little weird.
She'd be watching.
Well, I mean, it's the two way glass. So he doesn't. Have
so he's high fiving the glass.
She's Meredith. He's just like, what are you doing?
My favorite part of the red carpet, although everyone's probably already seen it, was Sacha Baron Cohen as the dictator. Spilling ashes all over Ryan Seacrest. Did you see this?
Hi, this is the dictator.
Hello, welcome, Brian.
Thank you, dictator.
Hello, Death to the West.
May I ask you, who are you wearing?
Who am I? I'm wearing John Galliano, but the socks are from Kmart.
Can we get a tight shot of the socks? Oh, wow. Which section of the Kmart store were those in?
Well, as Saddam Hussein.
See, I was thinking, like, I mean, he got him to bend over and look at his socks. I thought for sure that was when he would pour the ashes on him.
Yeah, but then the bit totally ends. You can't keep it going for the extra 40 seconds.
That's true.
Anyone said to me, socks are socks. Don't waste money.
Is coming to the Oscars one of the best perks of whatever it is your job is?
Yes, I love it here because it gave me an opportunity to bring my dear friend and doubles tennis partner, Kim Jong-il. It was his dream to come to the Oscars and to be sprinkled over the red carpet and over Halle Berry's chest again.
The fact they said again makes it so much funnier.
Funny, the interesting thing is it's actually made by South Korea. No, sorry. You've got Kim Jong-il on. Wait a minute, we need to clean this up. Now, if somebody... It's fine, it's okay for you. Now, if somebody asks you what you're wearing, you will say, Kim Jong-il.
I like how he was rolling his A's. Yes. That was pretty good.
I feel like I'm going to like his press tour more than the actual movie.
Well, see, that's the thing. I have this... I don't know if it's a theory, but these guys that are really good at improv aren't nearly as funny when they're doing prepared material. Like... Sacha Baron Cohen, like I've seen Nick Kroll. When Nick Kroll's doing just straight up characters and improv, he's like one of the most amazingly funny people on earth. And then when he does prepared material, it's not like bad, but it's just like, That was all right.
I even feel that way to a certain extent about Corolla, where Corolla's Loveline or his, you know, back in the day, Loveline or his podcast. I mean, it's hysterical. It's so funny. And just like the lines, the one-liners and the zingers he has are so goddamn funny. And then, like, he's done a couple things. You know, the prepared bits he had on The Man Show weren't nearly as funny as Jimmy Kimmel's. He had a talk show that wasn't as funny. And he's been in a couple movies. And I'm always sort of like, I think Adam Carolla in the improv kind of, not, he's not improv the way, you know, like strict improv, but
he is. He's essentially improv.
Yeah. He is hysterical. I think he's one of the funniest people on the planet. But yeah, with prepared stuff, he's just like,
same with
not that funny.
Tracy Morgan. I mean, I've heard Tracy Morgan like on Stern and on The Daily Show, and I've heard him on the radio times where I've had to. He's the only person I've ever had to pull my car over because I was laughing too hard.
He's just jerk off right then and there.
He's going on like a long tangent. He's not even really working with anyone. He's just like monologuing. But
one of my favorite Tracy Morgan things is I don't even remember what the movie was called. Like Totally Awesome or something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. But you ever break a Puerto Rican's awful sweatpants money?
Yeah, all the outtakes from that.
Yeah.
Absolutely kill me.
When you ain't bad, homeboy. You never threw a poodle off a 14-story building to see if it could fly? Yeah.
You ain't black.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he does all his silly walks, too. Like, he just is walking back and forth. Well, it's similar. The OG movie
myself,
was
not cool enough. I gotta be cool.
Yeah.
Jamming on the one. Like those guys. Yeah, that's it. Those black guys that teach me how to be cool.
This is not very good radio.
Let me get this straight, Charlie. You digging this fine fox, huh? But she's not digging you. Because she said you ain't fly enough. But you want me to teach you how to be a fly guy by teaching you how to be black.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Wow. So what you think, there's some type of yellow brick road? And I'm the wizard? Huh? There's requirements to being black. There's requirements. You ever threw a chihuahua off the roof in the projects?
No.
You ever got a female pregnant when you was like 7?
No.
Have you ever broke a Puerto Rican dude's arm for sweatpants money? Then you can't be black. You can't be black. You just way too white for me, homeboy. There's requirements to being black. There's requirements. Do you got a family-sized portrait of Jim Kelly on the wall? Do anybody in your house sleep in a medicated bed? Huh? Anybody got a subscription to Black Hair magazine?
No.
You can't be black. Do you got an uncle named Drayton who got a gut like this? Look at it, Chuck. Chuck, do you have any dogs that are sick and you don't care? Have you ever fished for your pediatrician? Oh, you can't be black, dude. You ever been hit in the head with a shitty pamphlet?
No.
Do your father's car run by plug?
Run by what?
Was a piece of furniture in your house a piece of petrified dog doodle? Has things in your household gotten so bad that you resorted to eating a baseball cleat? Did your first summer youth job require an organized homicide?
No.
This clip is like 10 minutes long.
I would recommend anyone watching that hasn't seen it, because it's 10 minutes of that, and it's amazingly funny.
I like it better when he forgets what he's saying.
a baseball cleat!
That's why he's so funny on Saturday Night Live. It became this thing where the first couple times you watch him, you're like, what is this guy doing? He doesn't even belong here. Yeah. And then like after you watch him in a couple sketches, you're like, oh wait, he's actually really funny. Where like he's just clearly reading the cue card. He's like, yo, I don't even know what I'm doing here.
It's funny he said Black Hair magazine, because I lived, you know, when I lived on 125th and Broadway, which is like the cusp of Harlem.
That's where Black Hair magazine. That's where their editorial offices are.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I used to be there.
They asked him to be a guest writer.
He'd be a guest weaveologist.
fact checker,
Vince. You have some fly hair.
I do. Yeah, there was a barbershop right near my house, and you know how they have the pictures of all the different old school barbershops? They have all the different haircuts on the wall. One of the pictures was Tracy Morgan, like at this random barbershop. And it was just, you know, it was like in the middle of like 10 different portraits. And I was like, dude, that's fucking Tracy Morgan right there.
Was it like a picture of him in the shop or just a picture of
him? No, like he was one of the haircut models. It was like, this is a flat top fade. This is like a step side.
It's beautiful.
This is a 4x4. Yeah.
Or and then one, Vince is just a horrible racist.
No.
Here's a Jerry.
No. Honey, honey, come here. Come here. It's Tracy Morgan. We live in the black neighborhood.
That's Oprah Winfrey. No, it was him.
Oprah
Winfrey
doesn't live in the black neighborhood.
I swear to God.
Was that called Totally Awesome? What was the... It was a
Yeah, it's Totally Awesome. Yeah. It's like Neil Brennan was a... I think Neil Brennan directed it. He was one of the Chappelle Show writers.
I would recommend anyone searching that out, because then he does his little weird walks for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there's another scene where that he does for a couple minutes, too, which is very similar to that. The one where he says you can't be black, though.
What's the
best
name of the YouTube clip, Vince?
It's just a Tracy Morgan is Totally Awesome.
You know what? Maybe you can put that on Film Drunk.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I think I have before. It's been up before.
Well, I think you have put it on there.
Like 2 years ago.
Because I remember you me and Reggie were at Monahan's one time getting hammered and
you can't be black.
Yeah, laughing about that. Our friend Reggie is black and he was yelling at us about how we can't be black.
Turns out he can be black.
Yeah, he can be, but he was yelling at Vince and I about how we can't be.
We got one last voicemail before we go.
We got a voicemail.
Before we get some hot
guys. Are we playing the voicemail grab bag?
This is not grab bag. This is actually comment on last week's show.
Oh.
From Caleb, our Kenyan listener. We might have multiple Kenyan listeners, but Caleb's probably...
He's
the most...
The other Kenyan didn't give their name, did they?
I don't know.
It was Caleb spelled differently.
He's the most outspoken of our Kenyan listeners. Let's put it that way.
Hey, what's up, Drunkards? This is your Kenyan listener once again. I was listening to this last broadcast, and you guys were kind of talking about what made Jar Jar Binks kind of a racist character. And you guys brought up, you know, the whole Caribbean-Jamaican thing, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know, with the hair kind of being like dreadlocks and the looks of big eyes, big lips, although I think that kind of counts for all black people, sadly. But personally, I kind of felt like there was more of like a... That's how I feel, more of a, like, you know, old slave kind of stereotypical kind of look to him, because especially the way he talks. And I think, you know, if you ever listen to any stereotypical blackface montages of house slaves or, you know, quote-unquote house niggas, it can always be, oh, yes, master, I'm a good nigga, master. I wipe your ass and eat you, and chew your food for you, master. I do all that, master. And if you're going to listen to the way Jar Jar kind of talks and the way that, you know, works, you know, is at Anakin's every behest, you know, definitely has that kind of old slave vibe, stereotype vibe to it. So I'm not going to imitate his voice.
I'm going to go ahead and call
that. What does he know? He's not American.
I'm going to go ahead and call that accidental racism, because I don't think George Lucas probably. I mean, maybe subconsciously.
I doubt
it. Wasn't Jar Jar Binks actually sold into slavery? Wasn't that like, didn't he have to go in front of his boss figure?
No,
and
that's
then,
Anakin. Oh.
What?
God.
Wasn't there an underwater scene where he was like, he fucked up and then he was like exiled with these people?
Yeah, he did, but the boss was one of his kind. It wasn't.
Yeah,
like...
he was more in trouble because he was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, it blows my mind that we have a Kenyan listener, especially with like, I feel like a lot of our jokes are very like pop culture and stuff like that, so I feel like maybe people from different countries wouldn't necessarily catch on, but
the internet, man.
I think it truly goes to show you that farting is the universal language.
That's true.
Farting is the universal language.
Well, so, I mean, we're not fucking talking about Two and a Half Men or some shit that's American centric. It's everything we're talking about is mostly off the fucking the webs.
Well, yeah, it's less like poops and butts.
Yeah, there's a lot of butts.
But
yeah,
Vince, did anything else happen at the Academy Awards?
Our humor has been described as very anal.
Not really.
Nothing else happened?
I mean, people won stuff.
Was there any good song and dance numbers? Because I really like those.
I didn't pull Billy Crystal's opening monologue, but he actually, you know, it got less bad. Like, everybody's bad reading off a teleprompter, but his opening number was terrible. He's like, I've hosted the Academy Awards. This is my ninth time. You can just call me War Horse.
I don't even get it.
Yeah,
and then
he's like,
talking about the Oscars.
And then he's like, yeah. Extremely loud, incredibly close. That's like so and so. And then he did like a whole bad
Gary
pun.
Busey.
Yeah, he did a whole bad pun. Like,
let's stop.
Song. Yeah. No. He asked, man.
So,
yeah.
Well, I just was curious because
doesn't Burnsy have some hot goss for us?
He does.
Is his phone going to work this time?
Sorry, I just really don't want to talk about the Oscars.
No, I'm
really sad.
That was a forced segue.
I'm with you.
Hot guys.
Hot guys.
Does he just got drunk by yourself?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, you talking to the internet like it was your friend?
Yeah, I was. I was.
He was live blogging.
Dude, I turned on Twitter.
Bro, I gained so many followers.
I turned on the Twitter, and it updated, and then I just scrolled all the way to the top, because I don't give a fuck what you guys are talking about during Oscar night.
No,
that's like Twitter fucking ambrosia.
Is this Ashley Burns with Hot Goss?
Hot Goss.
Do you know any other?
Well, I know Burnsy's Corner.
Oh, that's a good point.
We heard you have some hot goss.
Hot goss.
Oh my God, are you guys ready?
Wait, so was it a big weekend with the All-Star game was in your backyard?
It was, but you know me, I was out in LA with the Oscar parties.
Were you really?
Play along.
I mean, I knew that.
Of course.
So did you bring your machete or did you leave that in Orlando?
I left that in Orlando. I lent it to some friends. I had them all engrave their initials on it for every time they stabbed somebody.
Oh, nice. Did they run out of room?
Oh, of course. They had to extend the handle. It's even better now.
Didn't Naughty by Nature used to have a machete that they
Do you know how hard it is to find ivory for machete handles, by the way?
No, I don't. I would think there's like one on every block.
You have to take it off dead elephants, like ones that just got hit by a car on accident. You can't actually kill the elephants for the ivory. You have to find the elephant graveyard. And
you
then...
have no idea how many elephants die on the interstate in Florida.
There are very few good elephants left in Central Florida, too. It's terrible.
A few good elephants.
So while you're in LA, what sort of
did your sources tell it? You got so many.
What sort of hot goss were you able to procure?
You got moles everywhere.
Vince's
I got people in places that people ain't ever been before.
Modulation. Hey, Ashley, it's time to play along. Sorry, continue. What'd your sources say?
Well, first I got to say I'm really proud to announce that we got a couple sponsors tonight.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, neither was I, but we worked out some deals, and we're proud to say that we're now partnered with the Girl Scouts of America.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Black Inches Magazine.
Okay. Nice.
And speaking of, we're going to get right into this right now.
They hopped along during the same robocall, I think.
They just like came to my door at the same time, so it worked out pretty well.
Okay.
Is robocalling what you do when you...
Speaking of Girl Scout cookies, do you gentlemen want to take a guess what Gabori Sidibe told our reporters her favorite type of Girl Scouts cookie is?
All of them simultaneously.
Rhino dick.
That's a new one this year.
Oh,
that sounds good.
The new 2012 flavor.
They replaced the tagalong.
Oh, that makes sense.
That is a shame.
Hence the two sponsorship. I mean, he weaved those in just beautifully.
Really well.
We are all about corporate synergy on Hot Gossip.
Hot Gossip.
So, let's talk about the Oscar parties. Huh?
There's so many.
What was your favorite one?
We, of course, hosted our 67th annual Hot Goss Oscar party.
Hot Goss Oscar party.
And everybody was there, including... former Russian president Mikhail Gorbachev.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Good get.
That is a solid get.
Let me tell you something. He has aged hella fine.
Nice.
Well, you know, they say that's the thing about having a distinctive birthmark like that. You know, it's just, it's classic. It doesn't go out of style. It's not, you know, you're not following trends. You're just you're an original.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know. His people said there's not anything happening, but my sources, my exclusive sources, saw him flirting all night with none other than Demi Lovato.
Wow.
Wow.
Was she receptive to his advances?
She was all over him, tongue in the ear and the biz.
Oh, wow. And the biz. I have heard that Demi is a bit of a birthmark chaser.
She is, because she likes to match them up with her cuts, I've heard.
Ooh. I did not expect
that. Hey, I've heard. I'm not saying that. That's my sources.
Hot goss.
And what else have you got? What was the hottest? Who had the hottest Oscar party after the Oscars at the post-Oscars?
Amazingly enough, the hottest Oscar party belonged to none other than Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh, of Silver Spoons and
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, okay. Yes, the one and the only.
Oh, indeed.
He's apparently back on the market after his wife of many years, has left him, and she's taking him to the cleaners.
Really? And is she has she moved on yet?
No, but she's apparently taking him for every penny that he's worth, all of their houses, and their prize-winning dog named Dolph.
Dolph. What kind of dog is Dolph?
He is a miniature pincher, and he won 16 awards at Westminster earlier this month.
Wow.
That including is... most down to fuck.
It's a prestigious award.
I did not know they gave that away at Westminster. Is that yeah, was, are they trying to
second,
hip?
The second only to Best in Show.
They're really yeah. trying to make go edgy with those the Westminster.
They're trying to get a new
you guy. Didn't know there's like there's biggest balls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it's officially fattest nuts.
Well, yeah.
It's just the way that they can make sure crowd. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Now, Bernsey.
Yes.
I've heard, you know, I got some sources too. I've heard Bonnie Raitt had a pretty raging post Oscars party.
Bonnie Raitt, let me tell you one thing about Bonnie Raitt that my sources told me about her Oscar party. There wasn't 1 minute where she didn't have her titties out.
I mean, she is a rock and roll. I mean, she's very
triple
rock and roll.
E boys.
Triple E.
Nice.
How did I not notice that?
She's
all these
a national
years?
Treasure.
All these years of her playing guitar, you know,
a lot of denim too.
Oh,
that's why.
Oh, okay.
All that denim.
You know what the secret is, according to her people?
What's
vests?
That? Vests.
Yeah.
Denim vests. Yeah. Hides the boobs.
I think that the Jonas Brothers have been doing the same thing for a while now.
They actually have gigantic man titties.
Mm. I have heard that. Now,
and it's a rare condition, so we don't like to talk about
now,
it.
Now, were there any other celebrity sightings, maybe some hookups at Bonnie Raitt's Oscar party with her titties out?
There was one that I found very interesting. It was Omar Epps and Robin Givens.
Okay.
Because they have been spending Black History Month working on a new off-Broadway play.
Do I want to know what it is?
It's called Free at Last, and it's honoring the victims of last week's Nike shoe riots.
Mm. I see.
Is it going to be a musical or?
it's going to be a rapical.
Hip opera?
It's getting a look.
Hip opera.
Very nice. Kind of like an R. Kelly trapped in the closet type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm feeling it.
Epic.
Well, that's, I mean, that one sounds good.
I see. So.
Sorry, I'm stuffed up. I keep snorting.
Now, I heard Linsanity. There was some Linsanity that happened after the Oscars. Do you know anything about that?
He did 6 pounds of cocaine in 1 hour.
Wow, that's got to be some sort of record right behind Scarface.
That is Linsane.
It was insane. His face.
No, Linsane.
His face was pure Snow White. And his eyes were blood red.
That tends to happen. I've heard that about
cocaine. And he had 19 points tonight. So you know what? Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a respectable effort for someone.
Hey, if you're going to do coke, you do it right, you do it responsibly, and you go out and be a productive member of society.
Right, right.
It's true.
Unlike Davy Jones. Oh, did you hear about this one?
I did. He's not no longer with us. Do you have any, I mean...
Oh, he's dead?
He did. He actually had a heart attack.
I was just talking about his new t-shirt line.
Oh, he has a new t-shirt line?
Yeah, he was coming out with a brand new line of V-necks on Friday.
Oh, wow. Did it have a name? I mean,
timing is poor to say the least.
I'll bet they're going to be expensive now.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, poor for him, but good for the t-shirt line, I think.
Damn.
What was the t-shirt?
Well, there goes that tidbit of news.
Well, what was the t-shirt line called?
Old Davy.
Well, it sounds like they've been working on that one for a long time. Sounds like that one really went to a lot of focus groups.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of market research, careful analysis.
Charts, flow charts, bar charts,
pie charts.
Graphs.
There was a lot of Venn diagrams and PowerPoint presentations.
Charts.
Market, target.
audience.
So they filled up a room full of dry erase boards with the brainstorming session for that one.
Oh, they probably got the guy from UPS just drawing pictures?
Oh, yeah.
All for naught. All for naught.
Of mountaintops.
He won't even get to see the fruits of his labor with old Davy.
So who was, I mean, who did they get to model old Davy? Was it anyone that we've
heard
of?
It was going to be Snooki.
Okay.
It was going to be Snooki, but big news, she's pregnant now. Yeah. She finally admitted it.
Mm.
But is there
guess who the father is?
Lexington Steele?
Harrison Ford.
Okay.
That's amazing.
You know, he has been, you know, with the earring, I don't know what he's got a...
It's a midlife crisis,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it really is. Right.
Got to bang young orange chicks.
I'd like to fuck that panda bear I see on TV.
As any of the...
That panda bear, I'm going to fuck it.
Are there any of the other Jersey Shore cast members? I mean, you know, they're probably big into the Oscar parties. Probably, you know, in that scene, they're just doing a lot of hanging out, making news. Anything that you've heard?
I know that Vinny Guadagino? Guadalupe was at the All-Star game this weekend. But, you know, there's never any news out of those guys. They're good kids.
Okay. Yeah, they keep clean. They stay they're out good of the, kids. Stay
they do some community service and they're just really respectable bunch. They're Tim Tebow if he were real.
It's an interesting analogy. Speaking of Tim Tebow, I hear he's bad on the dating scene these days.
Well, people keep saying that he was spotted at dinner with Taylor Swift.
And she's the one from Modern Family?
And it's 100% false.
Okay. Well, what have you heard?
He was actually at dinner with his agent.
Okay.
And Belinda Carlisle.
Of the Go-Go's. Or the Bangles.
Is that what she was in?
I think
she was in the Go-Go's.
Was she Go-Go's?
She's definitely the Go-Go's.
She's
the lead singer of the Bengals is Susanna Hoffs. It's
you're right. Yes. You're right. I said the Go Go's right. First, Dick.
You gave me that dismissive look, and then gave me I'm going to Wikipedia look.
And he did it. He's doing it right now.
I got it right first. Okay, so whatever. Isn't she the fat chick from Heart?
No, I think that's
great. I think that's Grace Slick.
Oh, okay. And which one? which one is
This is a fun game.
Which one is Blondie Stefani? Is she in? She's in that band.
In CNC Music Factory.
Okay. Now, have you heard any? Have you got any? Do you have a CNC Music Factory update for us by any chance?
I do.
Okay.
In the wake of Whitney Houston's death, my sources are telling me there's going to be an all-star tribute album.
Oh wow! And they're going to be on it.
It's going to be headlined by CNC Music Factory, with a little help from Avril Lavigne. The guy from Train. one of the guys.
There's something wrong with your line again. You got that laugh. You got that laugh thing going on with your
my dog is licking herself, and I'm just cracking up right now. Okay. It's so hard.
Yeah. So but, Avril Lavigne. We got CNC Music Factory. The guy from Train. Belinda Carlisle.
One of the guys from Right Said Fred.
Okay.
Everlast.
Is it Fred or is it the other guy?
It's the other guy.
Okay. He was the songwriter, I believe.
Right Said.
It's Right Said Jones.
Well, there was a Fred, and then there's a guy that named the band.
Yeah,
he named
right
it after
said.
His friend Fred. But right Fred said. Fred was more of like the Flavor Flav, whereas
he was the hype man.
Yeah, the other guy was, you know, more.
Yeah, the other guy was the soul.
Yeah.
But so are they all going to be singing Whitney Houston classics, or are they going to be?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're all singing them together, every song.
That's really going to be a
sort of like
at once,
like a We Are the World type thing.
And it's all going to be brought together by Mr. Big.
Mr. Big? From Sex and the City?
No.
Or Wayne's World?
The ones that sang To Be With You, the classic 90s.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay.
Second only to Nelson's Love and Affection.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that was the number one. The number one soft rock hit of the early 90s.
Of the entire 90s.
Mm. Mm. Well, the early 90s really set the tone for the rest of the 90s.
I forget what, before there was TRL, there was just kind of like an MTV Top 10 video countdown. And I'm almost positive that I saw Nelson's in parentheses, I can't live without your love and affection on the same countdown as I'm the One Who Wants to Be with You with Mr. Big. I may be incorrect, but
it seems like it would have
happened. The memory's fuzzy at this point because I was pretty young, but I seem to recall like those two songs sharing airspace during
it absolutely had to have happened.
Yeah, I think it did.
Oh, is a fuzzy memory for you just a release from God? You're just like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't have to remember that anymore.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Stand up, little yeah. girl. Broken heart. Sing it, Billy. Billy Sheehan, lead singer.
There's one guy in the background who's actually singing with his eyes closed and hitting a tambourine at the same time. That's
you, Vince.
That's
you and Brendan
move.
Should probably go on a worldwide tour only singing that and Nelson's whatever
it's
called.
Look at that guy's face. You free. Look at that guy's face. Take a screenshot of that.
It kind of looks like it kind of looks
save
like
that
Fred.
And put that on the internet.
It kind of looks like Fred Armisen in a blonde
it
wig.
It really does.
An albino wig.
No, it looks like if you dressed Fred Armisen like Bruce Valanche.
It does look like Fred Armisen.
Well, Bernsey, you have any? I mean, we gotta let you go, but this has been a lot of hot goss to get through.
A lot. It's a lot to handle for one sitting, and you guys took it like champs.
Do you have anything? Any more hot goss to smear on us before we let you go?
I got one thing to close you out with. It is political season.
Ooh,
the Republicans
yes.
are neck and neck trying to figure out who's going to go up against the big guy, Obams.
Like giraffes.
Well, Rick Santorum is trying to choose his campaign anthem right now.
Ooh.
In case he wins.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
I'm told,
Romney just got a big Kid Rock endorsement.
I'm told, though, that he's got his choices narrowed down to either John Mellencamp's Our Country.
Okay.
A good choice. That's a good American Republican song.
Indeed.
Or, and this one kind of surprised me a little, Pussy and Dick Thing by Two Life Crew.
Bernsey, you're breaking up again a little bit.
No, fuck Martinez?
No, that would just be wrong.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It was a stupid idea. Stupid.
Terrible.
Bernsey, thank you. Every week we just look forward to your hot goss, and we appreciate you coming
on. I feel so enlightened.
And do, too. I mean, I know so much more about the world now.
Well, I feel like an insider, you know?
Right?
Like, I really know what's going on.
I know. You feel like you're on the edge of your seat at a VIP section of celebrity party.
You can almost see Bette Midler naked.
Indeed.
I feel like I'm reading an issue of People before it's released.
Yes.
Hot goss.
Hot goss.
Bye, Bernsey.
Bye-bye.
That's been hot goss.
I like Bernsey.
That was
but
some hot goss.
Kid Rock did endorse Mitt Romney.
Do you know he's not even a Republican? This is all for money. I talked to his fucking agent in a car one time on the way to SFO, and we were like, oh, what the fuck's been Kid Rock been up to? And he's like, oh, you know, just doing shit. And someone cracks a joke like, you know, like National Guard commercials. And he turns around. It's like, we don't talk about that.
What do you mean? Why?
Because apparently they didn't get enough money. He's just a fucking, he's a whore. He's not even a lake person.
You know what's crazy about
this? He pretends to be a lake person so he can get free wakeboarding fucking, so he can go up the ramps.
Lessons.
This is actual hot goss.
That's deplorable.
This is actual hot goss. You actually talked to Kid Rock's agent.
Free wakeboarding lessons.
Agent! I need free wakeboarding lessons ASAP. Well, then we got to do another car commercial.
Well, whether it was for money or not, he endorsed Mitt Romney.
Him and Dave Mustaine can have a crazy, crazy song.
But Brendan and I, we said we were holding out. We heard about Dave Mustaine's endorsement. Said we're going to hold out till we heard from Odorous Arungus from Guar.
It's true.
And what the hell is?
It's your fancy microphone.
It's not. It's feedback. Anyway,
I think it's your blogging slacks.
They're full of potential.
They're streamlined.
They're giving off potential. They're giving off.
Oh god, it, I feel a gif coming on. Am I gonna? Oh yeah, I'm gonna animate it. Mm.
Those are speed holes.
Oh, it's a dog, and it's eating something in a funny way.
That's, we live for that.
Yeah,
as bloggers. Yeah. Oh god.
Do you just have one
straight over the news? Why? It's a dog and it's eating something funnily.
Do you?
There's a cat and he's wearing clothes. You'll never believe this.
Do you have like the blogging list that you just send everything out to whenever you get something like that?
Yeah. It's Morse code.
Yeah.
Dot dot dash.
There's when a cat. When are they gonna load of me, guys?
There's a cat wearing a wig. See.
Coming over the wire.
I picture you doing that during the Oscars. I've been drinking, and I don't like this show.
Every couple minutes, I would just hear him say, "Fuck! That's another reference to something random. Like I need to drink."
Who's he shouting at?
Just the world.
Yeah.
His own game that he
created. Can you imagine that everything you yell is broadcast to all your little friends?
I was just shouting to myself, man. Sometimes you shout. Sometimes you gotta shout. Odorous Arungus weighed in on the presidential nomination. Thought you guys might want to know. Anybody?
Yeah absolutely.
This is a statement.
I mean, pretty much, you don't have to ask. Pretty much Odorous, anytime Odorous says anything, you can read it on the broadcast.
Yeah. Simply put, all the offered choices are so nauseatingly banal that there is no flavor I favor. I hate all of them, and their institutions make me sick. They all suck so bad that I cannot begin to do anything other than reject everything they stand for, and can endorse no party or candidate so much as I heartily cry for their destruction, lust for them to be tasked and scourged with fire and whips, and yearn to see great clouds of insects set upon their genitals, and feast upon their diseased and dripping dick slits and big rotten pussies. Do not vote for them. Gather in mobs and attack them in their homes. Drag them into the streets and impale them upon a gigantic wheel of oversized knives. And this goes for Obama, too.
Hmm. Man, Gwar is awesome.
So he's not really showing his hand yet.
No.
Like. You know, he sounds
close to the chest there.
Right?
Odorous is kind of a kingmaker.
I'm going to read between the lines and say that. That sounded like a Ron Paul endorsement.
Because the wheel of knives, right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
It's right after the gold standard thing.
What we need is a wheel of knives.
I'm not saying that I don't trust the black people. I'm just saying wheel of knives, go off the gold standard.
I don't like OSHA because they took away my wheel of knives. Then we're gonna get them out and we're gonna bring the knives back.
I'm gonna dissolve government and let us all be judged by the swarms of insects.
Those would be fair judges, at least.
Man, yeah, I saw Gwar when I was a sophomore in high school, and some dude came out like dressed as Marilyn Manson, and it was like a huge like drape, kind of like I'm trying to figure out how to explain
an effigy.
Well, it was an effigy, but it's sort of like okay. Have you ever seen one of those people who wears the Headless Horseman costume, and it's essentially just like a big structure that sits on their shoulders and goes above their head to make them look headless?
Like a mascot.
Yeah, basically that, and then there was a head on top of it that was supposed to look like Marilyn Manson. And so they waited a long-ass time. So it was like an hour and a half between the band and Gwar, the opening shitty opening band and Gwar. And then this guy comes out and acts like Marilyn Manson because this is like 1998, you know, and Marilyn Manson was like hot at that point. And then, like, all of a sudden, Odorous just comes out with his big sword and walks up behind him and chops his head off. And then blood sprays all over the audience. And I was like, man, this is fucking sweet.
Best day of your life.
Still, I still remember it to this day. It was quite the show.
Well, to be fair, you remember every day.
Every minute of every day, forever.
For any drunkards who are on the fence about whether or not to go see Gwar in concert, if you have the opportunity, fucking do it. It's awesome. Even if you don't like the music, I certainly don't. It sucks. But yeah, go see him in concert. It's fine.
You don't like Fish Fuck?
No.
Beautiful.
Road Behind's kind of cool, I guess. I used to like that when I was younger.
I didn't think it was until I heard it at a wedding. And then I was like, yeah, that's appropriate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's beautiful, the tear running.
That was the only time I was like, this is used correctly.
Was that the daddy-daughter dance?
Yeah, it was. It was. So it's fitting.
Well, Vince, there was something that was brought up by the Asian American Journalists Society of America. Yeah, wow.
I got that sitting right in front of me.
Wow.
Good segue.
Yeah, nice.
Good seg, buddy. Good seg.
And so for everyone
else. High five for that segue.
High five him.
Dude, high five him.
High five him.
High five him.
Our first froze.
So anyone out there thinking of making some sort of Jeremy Lin pun and or joke, we have some official guidelines that you need to follow.
From the Asian American Journalists Association.
Of America.
Yes.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
They define.
No one's heard of them until they released this press release.
They define certain danger zones.
Yeah.
So when, we should also stress that this is not a bit. This is real.
Yeah. Like, is that like a no touching zone? This,
yeah. It is. It's like a bathing suit area.
I actually was.
It's a bathing suit area for words.
That's crap.
I was halfway through a congratulatory email to Ben, being like, "Dude, those are pretty funny. I didn't think you had that level of subtlety in you." And then I actually read the press release, and they were all in there.
Yeah, so Ben, I was all set to give you a backhanded compliment.
I was all set to
And now you get nothing.
For the first time, I was going to say, you're funny. And then it turns out you just forwarded an email. No, it's very real, from the Asian American Journalism Society of America. They're serious.
Among the danger zones identified by the AAJA.
What happens to the Asian American Society of Argentina?
Ooh, no. Good point.
Well, yeah.
They're much smaller. They're
screwed.
They get marginalized.
It used to be
sad.
Important.
It's true.
They used to, yeah, in the 50s.
chink, pejorative. Do not use in a context involving an Asian person. I like you have to tell people not to use overt racial slurs. It's like, do not call black people the N-word. It is inappropriate. And, quote, me love you Lin time, colon, avoid. This is a lazy pun on the athlete's name and alludes to the broken English of a Hollywood caricature from the 1980s.
Can we go over driving? I like that one.
Yes. Danger zones.
that says that in all caps.
In all caps. We went over chink already. Driving. Driving in all caps, colon. This is part of the sport of basketball. But please resist the temptation to refer to, quote, an Asian who knows how to drive.
Now go over eye shape.
Eye shape. This is irrelevant. Do not make such references if discussing Lin's vision.
This is irrelevant. Eye shape does not actually affect a basketball skill.
Apparently not, if they have to mention it.
Science is in, according to Asians.
Food. Is there a compelling reason to draw a connection between Lin and fortune cookies, takeout boxes, or similar imagery? In the majority of news coverage, the answer will be no.
No, Brett. No.
Occasionally, though, it will be spot on, and we will congratulate you. Congratulations from the Asian American Society of America. That was an appropriate food reference. Continue.
You'll get a local Peabody for that.
Martial arts. You're writing about a basketball player. Do not conflate his skills with judo, taekwondo, karate, etc. Do not refer to Lin as, quote, grasshopper or similar names associated with martial arts stereotypes.
Because he's obviously the sensei at this point.
Yep, clearly.
Yeah. Can you imagine the poor intern that had to type this up that was just giggling the whole time?
What about the very serious meeting that went on what things are not funny? Let's get this up on the board. Write this on the board.
Who's got the PowerPoint that says what things are not funny?
All right, get the dry erase board.
Surprise, it's all the things in the PowerPoint.
It's everything we wrote down is not funny.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that Dave Chen from Slash Film actually unfollowed me on Twitter because I made too many Danger Zone jokes?
You went too far into the Danger Zone.
I did.
And
I
he
did.
Got offended.
Well, sort of. He said,
second off ramp on the highway.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, I kept making, like, on the Oscars, there was a part where Sandra Bullock was saying how she spoke.
She made a racist Asian joke?
Well, she said, I speak Chinese with a German accent, and then because she's fluent in German, and then she spoke a bunch of German, you know, basically to brag. And I was like, oh, the AAJA is not going to be excited about this. This is clearly a danger zone. And, you know, I've been making danger zone jokes for about a week now. And Dave Chen from Slash Film was like, no joke. Are you seriously planning on minimizing any instance of potentially racist language against Asians? And I was like,
it's your duty to minimize the instances.
I was like, kind of, yeah.
Minimize the instances, Vince.
I didn't really know how to say that.
And, it's your responsibility as an Asian American journalist.
So, ironically, you went too far into the danger zone that you were making fun of, and you actually offended someone.
You got sucked into the danger zone.
That's right.
It's a cautionary tale.
Sometimes you go too deep. Yeah, it is a cautionary
like Icarus,
tale.
You flew too close to the danger zone.
Indeed. Indeed. I had my wings melted by Chinese food and martial
MSG.
Arts. Martial arts.
MSG and karate.
The heat from their judo chops.
From their kung pao melted my wings.
It was hot. Don't ask for an Asian.
I like the
General Tso's chicken melted your jokes.
I think, like, you know that political correctness can never, like, there's no, there's no end game for it because like the end game is to not recognize obvious differences between people.
I think everyone looks identical.
Yeah,
I actually think men and women look the same.
The end game is I didn't notice he was black.
I didn't even notice that was a woman.
I don't notice stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
I don't notice those.
Oh, you notice the difference between men and women? You're weird, bro.
Yeah.
Stop being so sexist.
Oh, one of the danger zones was Yellow Mamba. This nickname that some have used for Lynn plays off the Black Mamba nickname used by NBA star Kobe Bryant. It should be avoided.
Yellow Mamba's like a corn snake. It's the weakest snake in the forest.
Yeah.
And, but it's like if you can call Kobe Bryant Black Mamba, I mean, isn't it basically the same thing to call someone Yellow
shouldn't
Mamba?
Shouldn't he be more concerned about being like compared to a rapist than the snake reference?
Well, yeah.
That's not an Asian thing, though.
You're like the yellow rapist.
Well, I think she was referring to Kobe.
I know, that's why he's the yellow rapist.
Well, for a while...
It's just a matter of time before the story comes out.
Kobe started...
They get in the NBA, they get all rapey. That's unscience.
Do not say that Jeremy Lin served up Kobe beef, as Kobe beef is Japanese and is irrelevant.
Oh, shit. You avoided the danger zone but went straight on through.
The way to avoid the danger zone is to pre-make the jokes and say that nobody else can make them, basically. But it's like the end game. It's like, oh, I didn't notice that we're completely... It's like if you took two-year-olds, obviously they're not racist, but they're going to notice that...
No, it's proven you can be racist at birth, Vince.
Yeah. I mentioned last week on the show about Saturday Night Live, their opening sketch about that was really good, and they made a joke about...
Which one? Oh, yeah, where there was like the round table of...
They made the joke about... Yeah, they made all kinds of Jeremy Lin jokes. It was pretty funny, actually. I thought it was good.
Cool, bro.
Yeah, cool story, bro.
One time on TV.
I kind of forgot what I was talking about. I was sort of...
Friends on the wagon again. What are we drinking?
Quitted?
Yeah. No. Quitted. You have any aunts with C-section scars this thick? Nobody in your family has been diagnosed with being on crack or nothing like that.
No.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do what are we doing. Brendan is back
Brendan's
on the
wagon.
I already drank a Bud 40.
Yeah, you did.
A Bud. I'm drinking an Irish coffee. I haven't had one of those in a few weeks.
In a couple hours.
I feel bad ruining my Bullet Rye by putting it in coffee, but it's still pretty good. Brett?
Oh God, I wouldn't want to have one sweet, sweet nectar touch another sweet, sweet nectar.
Well, you know, you don't want to dilute the nectar.
With more nectar?
Exactly.
I don't want hummingbird feed in my bird seed. I'm drinking a Liberty Ale.
Okay.
I've got a Trader Joe's winter special thing.
Is it any good?
They're on sale now because it's springtime.
Is that the first good winter
40% off at Trader Joe's.
Well, Trader Joe's, if you're a Jew, is always 99% off with your gold shekels.
Yeah, but with that extra 40% off, you're like 99.6%. I can't do that.
You get 15% for sidelock.
If you wear your yarmulke on Tuesdays, you get an extra 10% off.
Like if you got both curly sidelocks and...
That's the Lord's Day.
Danger zone, bro.
I should have been born a Jew. I got such curly sidelocks, man.
Remember that time you got offered a piece of corn and you're a better Jew than Ben?
That's true.
Yeah.
Do not refer to our sidelocks as bungee jumps and hang from them.
It's not a
danger
piece,
zone.
It's not a piece of corn, man.
Do not take my yarmulke off my head and throw it like a frisbee.
Just
danger zone.
Danger zone.
Ultimate, dude. Ultimate.
Do not trick me and put lobster into my kosher food. Danger zone.
That is a cheap Seinfeld reference, and it is not funny.
And it's a danger zone as well.
Just to explain Brett's reference, if you haven't listened to every Frotcast.
You really with the pandering? Can we just do this as a supplemental thing on Twitter or something?
All right.
Like, hey, here's a reference to the... and then
it could lead to something funny. If you would just yes and, who knows where we would go.
Look,
you two could go to the moon.
I'm just saying that when Bernsey cut me off, I was thinking that maybe robocallings would you get really strung out on cough syrup, and then you call your mom, and you're like, Mom, I love you. I want to make out.
So that's what this is about.
A little bit.
You wanted to get the robocall joke out.
Yeah, I know.
For the last hour.
A little bit.
It's all about the robocall joke.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of
possibly
this.
You wanted to make out with your mom, too.
Independent. Independent of the robocall.
Separate issue.
Neither here nor there, but I just got an email, a spam email from someone named Pamela Wigglesworth. That's a pretty good name.
I go, the name's the best part. It's not even the body of it.
Reply with your
social security number. It's not even like, your dick's so big it scares people. It's just the name. It's Pamela Wigglesworth.
I never get that email.
I actually did get that email. That like I literally got that. Which
your dick so big?
Yeah, it said the subject line was "Your dick so big it scares people."
Was it for shrinking pills or just like a cheap rate on a mortgage?
That was the subject. What was in the body of the email? Where does it go from there?
I think it was like a
we can shrink your dick for you for low cost.
Yeah, dick shrink ray.
Oh, supplemental to the Jeremy Lin thing. I wanted to play you guys this trailer for Collision Course from 1989 that someone sent me today.
Coming out finally?
What do you get?
you might find it relevant.
Yeah, because it's being released.
What do you get when a Japanese special agent comes to Detroit?
I talk some Jap. Toyota. Mitsubishi. Kawasaki. Teriyaki.
To team Jay up Leno? With a wisecracking city cop.
Yeah, it's Pat Morita and Jay Leno.
And Jay Leno, I've totally
yeah,
seen
Yeah, I don't think we need quite as much firepower, fellas. Let the people right. through, will you?
Hot on the trail of murder and corruption.
You see, Oshima stole revolutionary new turbocharger.
You got proof of this? You just make it up as you go along.
No. I see guilty look in Jared's eye.
Guilty look in eye? Well, with that kind of hard evidence, we should get a conviction overnight.
Jay Leno looks stupider.
I like how Pat Morita is probably like, "Hey, Pat Morita, what's going on?" He's like, hey, how's it going? And then he made like, his entire career off like the 1980s Japan phobia, where it's like, "Oh, right. I Pat Morita."
Yeah. Well, the whole phobia of like their economy being way better than ours, yeah. and them buying property in America.
Yeah, it was like the
how
cars
dare they? And, how yeah. dare they have decent technology? Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. They're buying
Pebble Beach.
Gosh.
It's like they make better cars faster and more efficiently.
Why are you
with
being
less
so un-American? You're being very un-American right now.
Terrorist.
They don't pay people to sit in rooms and not work.
I just like the I speak some Jap.
Yeah.
Teriyaki.
Toyota. Mitsubishi.
Hey, right? I'm from Detroit. Yeah, we make cars that you guys put out of business. Fuck you.
Is that Detroit?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, I got you. Got yeah, your fucking compact car right here. Hey.
Wackiest.
Karate.
Buddy buddy cop comedy.
I like how they have to call out the genre. It's a buddy buddy cop comedy.
Oh, it's the most buddy buddy cop comedy.
Wackiest.
Rush hour before that. Rush
it out the window.
The whole soundtrack of this sounds like a Huey Lewis and the News jam session.
Or Nintendo. Nintendo game.
That's about it.
What?
If you take any like skilled Asian person who can like kick ass and you just pair him with like a wisecracking someone or other, in this case Jay Leno, you know, or you know, anyone else. There's a movie.
The sparks are going to fly.
Yeah.
I still remember there's a line, I think we heard it, where Jay Leno says, I get partnered with one guy from Asia who doesn't know karate.
Yeah.
But then at the end, the climactic scene, Mr. Miyagi runs towards a car that is speeding. I'm not lying. I've seen this.
Wow.
He runs towards a car that's speeding at him and does like a kick. He jumps and just sticks both feet in the air, and they go through the windshield, and he kicks both the people, and they're somehow incapacitated. And I remember as a child watching this movie and thinking, like, that's not what a real jump kick looks like.
Dude, I've seen wrestling. This is not.
Yeah. See? Yeah. They didn't even have the like suspension of disbelief right
there. Right.
That's
no,
crazy.
I saw right through it as a child.
Wait, so Leslie brought up a good point. Was that a prequel to Rush Hour?
Oh, well, not officially.
Oh, it's an unofficial
hey,
prequel.
I mean, here's the words that are coming out of my mouth.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, we need a high pitched person. What
right.
do we got?
Right.
I mean, Jay Leno looks like an asshole in the '80s, like a fucking asshole. His hair is stupid,
and his chin is bigger than yeah, if that's possible.
Flailing.
I got a chin reduction.
Hey. Speaking of funny accents, this was just happened randomly while I was watching People's Court today.
You came up with a funny accent?
No, I started DVRing People's Court because I really
you really like
it.
Judge shows.
I fucking love judge shows.
Let's get it out of the open.
I love them.
It's on every day. Why would you need to DVR
it? There's like 12 of them on
because
every day.
It's not the same one every day.
No, there's so many. I had to figure out which judge shows. I had to figure out which. The thing is, you got to find the right judge shows, because like Judge Judy is only a half hour show. So a lot of the times,
are there hour ones?
People's Court is an hour, which is long. It's long. All right. So the problem with Judge Judy is Judge Judy doesn't ever want to delve into people's story or fuck me. Yeah. Well, that's true. But like she just cuts people off. People could have some crazy interesting story, and she's like that, and then she just slaps her desk.
You know why? It's a half hour show.
Exactly.
Yep.
And People's Court, she might delve a little too much.
Why do you think this is the People's Court? I don't got an hour.
Yeah. I might switch to Judge Mathis. But anyway, I was watching.
Judge Mathis is the man.
He's pretty sassy. He's like, it's cool if you smoke some weed.
Exactly like that.
Is that true?
That is true.
So I caught People's Court today, and it was one of our favorite things, which is two Jamaican ladies arguing.
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
What was it about?
Tell me you recorded
it. Well, the thing was,
doesn't matter.
It was the most confusing argument ever. Like, one said the other one owed her money, but she couldn't quite explain
why. She put the duppy on her?
It was for crack.
And the other one is like, oh, she give me money for me daughter and her daughter. And it's like, and the judge is like, you mean her daughter also? And she's like, no, me daughter and her daughter. And she's like, oh, you mean your granddaughter? And she's like, yeah, me granddaughter.
It was confusing.
Please tell me you recorded this.
I got a sound clip.
Yes.
Yes, if you
excuse me,
you call and see if you're gonna pay for it.
Excuse me,
gonna pay for it.
She is. I don't trust this lady at all because one
you
time
she steal that before you load
it. Yeah, because one time she steal a phone, and take it up my house, a high phone, and said.
A high phone. I like how she's pronounced it, high phone.
What's a high phone?
She take me high phone. She take me up me bumbleclot high phone out my house.
She take me bumbleclot iPhone.
No, it's
she
iPhone.
High phone.
She took me high phone. She took me a high pad.
You take away H's from words that have H's, and you add them where, like if the words that begin.
You take them away and they just fall where they will. Like, you don't know where that. You're just gonna end back up.
She took me high phone.
A high phone and said to me, somebody give it to her. She find it and I found out she's not a nice person. She take the phone and carry out my house and put it down. It's an iPhone.
Dead after that, you loaned her more money?
I didn't know she was like that because her son in jail for robbery and so forth. And she was the one that used to have her son be robbing places and so forth.
I didn't even know she had her son robbing places.
That's what you're saying. You're going to poop
party.
You understand
me because I'm
that's defamation of character.
She said poop party?
She said, that's called defamation of character.
I thought she said, Bobby poo
I
party.
I didn't know he was like that.
Just something about a poo party there.
She came to my house and said, bring a phone, a high phone. I didn't know she was
if
like
you,
that.
If according to you owe her $90, why haven't you
I
paid her?
I don't owe her $90.
Don't hold me.
Wait, this is for $90? Are you fucking kidding me?
That's where you go for Leslie. You clearly have never had a dispute with someone.
In Jamaica.
You're a highfalutin, hoity-toity, I only have disputes for millions of dollars, whatever.
She told me to dump it, go and thief me $90. And I say, no, you go and thief me. And her son with the high phone.
I did not know he was in the jail.
Me don't know. He take me high phone and now I don't got no phone.
It's not an easy road.
Was there a pool party or was there not?
Because how many call people from my house would
sounds
not know.
Like it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there was a pool party for sure. Bujubanta is going to be there.
I would pay $90 to this lady to get to go to her pool party.
Well, you know what? Bujubanta is playing live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For $90, you can live with her for a month.
Bye bye. Bye.
Dude, I would.
Hi. You owe her $90. Why haven't you paid her?
I don't owe her $90.
Miss,
don't hold me.
Hold on.
Miss, she hold you me know, we don't have anything. I didn't know how to
no, but you just admitted to me that you owe her $90.
Yes,
so my
I
question
yes,
to you
ma'am.
Is,
I gave it
why
to somebody
didn't you just
to
go ahead and pay her?
And commercial break.
It was easily the most nonsensical case because it would be like, well, but why didn't you give her $90? Because her son done thief my iPhone. And it's like, what?
iPhone.
You're saying it wrong.
Yeah. iPhone.
He took me iPhone. Out me house. And I sue her for defamation of character. And I'm like, what? How do those things?
In the poopo party.
Yeah, so turns out, Leslie, that's where you take disputes under $100.
I see.
Is to the People's Court.
Yeah. Vince almost got a brand new star shirt out of the People's Court.
I didn't record this part, but there's one part where she's playing her. She's playing the message
from the iPhone
from the
from
other
the
chick.
iPhone?
No, from the other chick to her, like on her phone, and it's just like all you hear is. And everybody's like, I have no idea what they're saying. And they the judge is like, I have no idea what you just said, but that guy in the front row is laughing his ass off. And there's like this 15-year-old kid in the front row who had to get up and translate like what the phone message is like. Oh, now she cussing her because she say she no give her the money and
for the iPhone.
Now she cussing her.
Yeah,
she says she haul her the money.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, well, you know,
good job.
I take everything back about your blogging slacks and your judge shows,
especially man, the judge right. shows.
Buju Bot is awesome.
God, can you imagine him sitting in front of his TV, woken up from a nap by this, and being like, "Oh God, I gotta put on my blogging slacks and get my recording equipment out. This shit's getting real."
Did you use your new dildo mic to record it?
Just scrambling around looking for his dildo mic. Where's my? Oh God! I can't record this.
Where did they put my dildo mic?
They're making fun of my new microphone, you guys. Obviously, you can hear how much better I sound this week.
No! For context, he got one for him. He got one dildo mic for him, and then he's like, "Oh, it's cool. It's only like $300 if you guys want to pay for your own."
What do you want me to do? I pay for the hosting. I pay for the intern to make a best of.
Well, I mean, you know, since you pay for all of our medical coverage yeah. and our dental coverage and pretty much, I mean, pet insurance, that's way
and
out
the
of
the jokes
your way.
We write.
Insurance is a lot.
Yeah. Leslie, before you leave, don't forget to fill out your Frogcast 401k.
Oh, right.
You're 1099.
You're technically a contractor, yeah. and all this time is tax deductible for a charity.
Yeah.
It is a charity.
Wow. Yeah,
we're working on that.
We're benefiting Jamaican,
intern on it.
Jamaican high phones. The Jamaican high phone.
Jamaican me high phone.
That's actually a good charity.
Yeah.
We give old iPhones
in
to
Jamaica.
Jamaican.
It's a high phone.
Look, the high phone's a lot like robocalling.
You be getting irie.
Well, before we get out of here, we do have something else we need to cover.
Well, should we get to know our guest before we get to her segment? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you not want to talk about yourself?
No,
that's probably best.
Tell us about so you're a comedian. That's how I know you. When did you get into comedy?
In September of last year.
All right.
So, fairly recently.
Well, it's going good. You got a Cobb show coming up.
Yeah.
That's 3 months before Vince.
See?
No, too soon?
Something like that. I don't know.
No, I was going to say, he was doing it, but you know, because he was good. He was already good. He's pretty funny. I don't know if have you guys seen him? He's pretty funny.
You don't have to say that just because you're on my show.
I've never been to one of his shows.
Come on. There are people that suck.
I like when he does his whole show in Jamaican accent, and he doesn't do that much anymore. He used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
It kills the crowd. He's like, you did me time on the open mic.
I finally got up on the stage.
Call me now for your free reading.
So where did you come from, and what was your, you know, what was the final straw where you're like, I got to get up in front of some people and talk to them in a bar?
A buddy of mine was doing a stand-up, and he's like, you got to come out and see, come on, you got to come out, like, because we would always just sit around and make stupid jokes and whatever, and he's like, come on, you got to do it. And so I saw him, and I was like, oh, shit, if this asshole can do it.
Mm.
No, but it kind of along those lines. And then it's just really fun because you can just say ridiculous things, and people are like, you know, not firing you. So that's cool. Like,
what have you been fired? What do you do for day work?
Not for that. I'm a facilities manager for a video game company, so I just like hang out and make sure that people have snacks and that you know the building's not burning down. And
video game developers need a lot of snacks.
I know it's a full that's a big part of my job. It's a just lot like, of Mountain Dew and Funyun stat.
A lot of soda, right?
And then you just hear the flip flops because like it's like a stampede of flip flops.
I will point out that in my building where I work, there's no Mountain Dew, and then on the engineering floor there's Mountain Dew. And there's like everyone else has the exact same like snacks and food on each floor, and then like on the engineering floor they also have Mountain Dew. So that is a very
just
real
an
thing.
Endless supply.
Yes.
It fuels dreams.
It's a very real thing.
It makes the video games we all love.
And where do you come from? Are you a NorCal native?
Yeah, yeah. I was born and raised in the Bay Area, so very lucky to have grown up here.
Where specifically?
Redwood City.
Okay.
Yeah, a climate best by government test. Mm-hmm. That's their motto.
I don't even know what that means.
Which is so lame, but it's totally true. It's perfectly warm always.
What?
It's like warmer than San Francisco and not as hot as San Jose.
For the Bay Area, but it's not San Diego.
No, but it's perfect Bay Area. We don't want San Diego. How can I bust out with my hoodie if it's like San Diego?
Mm, good point.
Right? Bay Area people like their hoodies. Mm,
I'm wearing one. Two of us are wearing one.
You're not wearing one, you fucking liar.
Two of you are wearing one?
It's really crowded.
Me and Vince are sharing a hoodie. I get the hood and the left arm.
Brent and Vince got cold, so.
You don't deep my right arm.
High school, college, would people be surprised that you have gone into the comedic profession? Probably not.
I was voted a class clown.
Okay.
And when I found out about it, it was kind of stupid because it was like, I was like, oh, the popularity polls are stupid. Who even participates in that? And they're like, dude, you won class clown. And I'm like, well, they're not that dumb, I guess.
Did they screw us over? I was also class clown. Did they screw us over? Did they forever forsake us?
Yours had nothing to do with your comedic skills. It was your silly clown hair.
That's probably true.
You were voted class clown hair. Right?
that's truer than you know.
They did make it so like people just like aren't going to take you seriously. Like even when you are like going to tell them something, like no, seriously, like I ran over a puppy. They're like, you're hilarious.
Most likely to not get a real job. I'm fine. You're right? Funny.
So did you, because I know Vince did the, you know, just going to places and doing. He went to some laundromats and did some open mics.
Oh, love the laundromats.
You have to do that every week still.
You still go to the laundromat?
Yes, everybody does.
God.
Dude,
damn
that's
it.
Seriously, every time I go to the laundromat place, I get shows. I get booked on.
Okay,
like,
can one
shows.
Of you just once say this is my show, and you go into the dryer and you just turn it on? Brendan, what was that?
I said Vince was voted most likely to pithily observe.
It was the Lisp kid voted me that.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a lot.
Super dick.
Careful, Vince hates voices like that.
No. I have a hard time.
Who likes voices like that?
The glandular lisp has a special claw.
This one, or it's in the back of your throat.
All right.
Wait, so both of you go to the laundromat.
That's right.
Yeah, and you get up on there, and people are on their laptops, and they say, please keep it down.
Pretty much.
It's the brainwash is a lot better than the old. There's a few other old open mics that were much worse. At least the brainwash is understood.
Brainwash
is like
awful.
It's a comedy venue.
I've told the story a couple times, but like there was one time a bunch of us went to see Vince, and they had like a random drawing, and it was like, I think 36 comics, and we were like 33rd.
And
we had to sit through so many, and it was, I swear I've told
clown
this.
Clown guy? The clown guy?
Yeah, sorry for the, sorry for the.
Oh, Kenny the clown, yeah.
Yeah, sorry for the Frotcast enthusiasts that have heard this story before, but it was the week that Pluto had gotten demoted from planet status. So every single, I'm not joking, probably 4 out of 5 comedians got up and just went, hey, you guys hear about Pluto? What's that? What's that all about, man? They used to be a planet. Now it ain't no planet no more. What's that all about, right? And then, like, a smattering of applause, you know? And it's just like, oh, this
is terrible.
It's like
you can't invite your friends to an open mic because, like, they will always be horrified at how depressing it is.
Yes.
Like, there is no... I've said this before, but, like, there's a reason... Everybody always quotes, like, oh, you know, if someone once said... half of life is just showing up. It's like, you know who said that? It was Woody Allen. And it's like there's a reason that a comedian said half of life is just showing up, because like 90% of comedy is, if you can stand to just go and get kicked in the nuts like every fucking night of the week, like eventually like it will lead somewhere, but really
that's not true.
Like almost entirely not true, but that it's not true, but it's a prerequisite.
It'll lead right back to your couch with a bunch of microphones attached to your friends.
It's not like it will lead somewhere, but in order for it to go somewhere you do have to do that. So it's like, yeah, oh yeah, you just cuz you know there's always funny people, but the ones that actually do stuff are the ones that you just have to keep going to these fucking soul-crushing open mics.
It's a very weird industry to me, and I don't really understand why you know, both of you are still forced to go and put yourself in a laundry dryer just to make people laugh.
It's look good. At me, I'm tumbling.
Okay, so the laundry dryer thing, like, it is good for, like, if you're like, oh, man, I don't know if this is funny, and I don't want to make paying customers, like, listen to my bullshit. So I'll make, like, laundromat customers listen to it. And if they chuckle at it, then, like, drunk people in a club ready to see comedy will definitely like it. But
so what were the steps? And so you've gone to some open mics.
Yeah.
And then you met the four other people having sex with their sisters.
Right.
So that's the next
and
step.
And I was like, wow. So
this is fucking crazy.
This is weird.
This is
you
weird.
You guys have to keep doing that in front of me while we're talking. I mean, it's, come on.
Like, can you stop? Oh,
I thought you guys were exchanging sisters as some sort of dirty comedian pact.
Well, and I mean, when you say sisters, they are sister wives.
Well, they're black girls.
Danger zone. Danger zone.
Racist.
Yeah, sorry.
This is racist.
Nah,
all right, so, and then you met some other people. You got to some sort of showcase type thing like Vince gets to do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty fun.
That sounds like a lot more fun.
Absolutely. You just show up like at the time and instead of like 4 hours before and hope to get on at some point.
And then most people will turn out to be funny, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always.
No, but...
Well, and I know my friends are, like, brutally honest. Like, they'll come to, like, a paid show, and they'll be like, so...
And boo.
They won't laugh. They're like, we're not going to give out pity laughs. Here's the thing. If people aren't funny, we don't want to encourage them.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's such a dick move. You're at a comedy show. Fucking laugh.
Also, but, white people are just... They're less forthcoming with their feelings. Like, you'd never want an audience full of all... No, it's
why
true.
Why do you assume my friends are white?
You never want an audience full of all.
I'm not sure how I feel.
All of her friends were black.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
So they're already all talking. So
actually,
for them to be quiet.
All Jamaican.
Yeah. No, but it's true. You don't want a bunch of white people in the audience. You don't. It's just like,
what's the perfect audience?
The Apollo.
Racially,
no. Not for Vince.
No,
that works well. For
Vince
me.
Needs a quarter Mexican to get his jokes across. He needs like
exactly
needs
one
like,
quarter.
A nice yeah. mix. A nice
he needs
mix.
Like a half black, a quarter Mexican, and what some like scattered Europeans or something.
Yeah,
would that be your ideal mix of ethnicities to make a good
comedy
man,
show? 100% black. I walk out of my building and the woman at the front desk is black and she's so cool. And every day, I just throw out some stupid fucking line. I say something so stupid.
Like what?
Hey, working harder, hardly working. And she laughs her ass off. And I walk out of there just thinking that I'm like king shit at Turd Island.
And then she draws a picture of you dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Because, you
she
know.
Actually did. I ran into her after work coming out of a bar. And she threatened to run me over with her car. This just happened. I'm not lying.
Completely unrelated.
She's like, oh, yeah, you're lucky. I need my car. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's this one.
She went to art school for like 4 years.
Yeah.
There's this one comedian, O.J. Patterson, who's really funny. But he is also famous for having a really loud laugh. So like if you're doing a show, you always want to have O.J. in the audience. And then I've seen shows happen at like the punchline where someone will tell a joke and it'll be kind of crickets, but just OJ will be laughing in the corner because you can hear him.
What about Willie Nelson?
What? He's always laughing.
Oh, he's not there. That guy, never mind.
Not the real Willie Nelson.
Don't fucking fuck up my story, okay?
You were always on my mind.
So like,
I'm going to go, guys. It's been fun.
So they'll sort of get crickets, but it'll just be OJ laughing in the corner. And then like every once in a while, you see a guy be like, ha, thanks, OJ. But the people in the audience don't know that black dude is actually named OJ. They just think that it's just this guy's super racist, like, standard name for the random black guy in the corner laughing. Like, oh, what? You just call random black guys OJ? That's fucking racist.
Well, I mean, he's
itself.
So clearly an Orenthal James. Like,
it's true.
You see him and you're just like, ooh.
But so, Leslie, there's not a lot of female comedians, correct?
There's a few.
No, I mean,
seriously, compared to the...
Oh, no, that's
the
true.
The amount of dudes...
That's
it's
why the
about
brainwash.
30 to, f- like 30 males for, and like 4 chicks probably.
So there's the vagina rule.
Ratio.
Yeah, he's good with numbers.
That wasn't 100% at all.
It's pretty easy to tell like when you're signing up and they let the girls go first.
Yeah, no, it's at the brainwash. The girls go first.
You can
show up at 6:29 and still get to sign up before all the dudes.
There's about 5 to 10 girls and 30 to 40 guys usually.
Yeah. So I'd say the female comics are pretty funny. There's a lot of good ones.
More comfortable competing against, like, so you're gonna get somewhere in between those first 10 girls. Are you happier in there than going up against like half of the? Because you got 30 dudes and probably 10 of them are funny, right? You probably get the same ratio of funny girls to funny guys, right?
Yeah, probably about that.
So would you rather be stuck in between the girls where there's fewer of them and more of them be funny than the guys where there's more of them and fewer of them be funny?
You always want to go. You always want someone really funny before you.
Right.
Just so that way
the
it's
crowd
not,
just loosened up.
Yeah, you just don't want it to be like.
Oh, I remember what it feels like to laugh. It's been a while.
Exactly. Like the awkward person that just yells at the crowd and then you're like, oh, cool.
This is therapy for me.
Yes, that.
Fuck you, bro. I've done stand-up for 40,000 years.
Oh God,
that's what happened.
My favorite style of bad joke is when the guy tells like a, he thinks it's like this really smart political reference, but really it's just a confusing bad joke, and then no one laughs and say, like, "Oh, I guess no one here went to college," and it's probably some like comedian who's like a high school dropout, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I guess no one here
read about this on the internet."
I guess no one here reads.
I know exactly.
Where you like review the audience right afterwards.
So I have a question because Brendan finds Vince's comedy writing, and it's just a phrase or a topic essentially, and that's
it. Sex trade?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Turtles in the butt. Dog food for
turtles
breakfast.
In the butt, how many? It's always a question mark.
Do you write stuff out, or is it more like phrases like laptops for vacations and
well, yeah,
we haven't gotten
like
to our indie band segment yet.
Oh yeah, we got
are we still doing
bands.
That?
Yeah. Yes.
Let's do it's just phrases.
Just phrases.
It's nonsense. Because
Brendan finds every once in a while and he's like, that's some old shit.
Don't read it.
Or he says like, oh my God, I haven't even said that yet. People, they're not going to come see me now.
How dare you, sir? Have you no shame?
It's very personal.
I found an old one. I didn't remember what the bit was. I just wrote a blank page that said bottle of tequila, 3 snow tires, and a dildo. And I have no idea what the joke was. I don't remember what the...
That's my favorite part of it.
I don't remember whether that was a setup or a punchline.
I had like a set list one night. You know, I was like paranoid. I couldn't remember. And it was in my pocket and it fell out. And someone was like, I found this. It said dick finger on it. So I figured that was yours. Yeah. And I was like, that's fine.
That's my pen name.
You sadly admit that he's correct.
Yeah, it's Leslie Dickfinger now. So I got
like
married. I don't know if you got the invitation because you probably didn't, but it's Dickfinger now.
Our friend Matt Lieb had a story about
the Museum of Comedy.
No, that's Matt Louvre.
Oh,
yeah,
fucking A.
Different. Matt Lieb is a 6'6" Jew. You would like him.
He would.
He got stopped at the airport in Israel and had some like mean security guard reading his comedy notebook because apparently it said. Said Allahu Akbar somewhere in his notebook, and they're like, why would you write this? And he had to explain like this whole bad joke that he hadn't worked out yet.
Do you mean Aloha Akbar?
No, I meant Allahu.
Oh, in that case, you can go.
You seem like you've got the spirit.
It means hello and goodbye. goodbye to God is great.
They gave him a mic.
Goodbye to you, God. You're great.
Well, let's get Inside Indie.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. I know there's some bands that I've been following. I don't know what is going on.
Leslie, one of the reasons we brought her in is she is just an insider of the indie music world. And, you know, it's not really something that I'm as familiar with. Vince is really big in the scene.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Above Ground Railroad fan. That's my favorite indie band.
Where's the last time you saw him?
Oh, I saw him at this. You know, it was in Koreatown Annex at this Ethiopian tapas joint.
Oh my God! The acoustics there are great.
They are. Yeah, it's all wood exterior and interior.
Well, it's a brick exterior, which keeps the sound in.
Well, it's reclaimed wood.
No, but it's just wood shaped like bricks. That's the irony.
No,
it's
all reclaimed wood, and you can actually hear the sound.
Oh wait, you know, I was at that show. I think I left before you got there because I don't really care about
it. It stopped being cool.
The band, yeah, the band that headlined.
It used to be cool, and then
but
it
I was
stopped.
There to see the opening band, the Shard Out Louds.
Oh yeah, I heard about them. I saw them at a show with what was it, Lobster Circus?
Mm-hmm.
They were
mm-hmm.
they almost stole the whole thunder.
They brought
the
house
talking
down
about
before.
They opened for Pensive Stare.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they were the Pensive Stare was heavily influenced by Black Tie Potluck, I believe.
Right, but Black Tie Potluck would not exist without extremely twee and incredibly white.
Oh wow, I saw them at a show in Wenopoho Triangle, you know, in the Bushwick Arts District. It was
Bushwick Arts District has gone downhill though, frankly.
Well, it started.
Yeah,
out
well,
with
ever
good
since Flannel Angst blew up, it's really gone downhill.
Well, do you know what happened? It was because of the aborted abortions. The Christian rock band that's really pro-life.
I blame the passive aggressives personally.
Have you guys, you know, have you guys heard Sunny Day Penguin?
No, but I've heard of Puppy Sweater.
Ooh, I have not heard them. They were a little too industrial.
Right, they're almost mainstream.
Hear.
Well, so they're not quite as industrial. They more have an influence. They're kind of like you've probably never heard of us. And soundtrack to a Wes Anderson movie. That's a little bit.
It's like you didn't even listen to the early stuff. It's more like Skip Until You Die.
Oh, really? Because I thought they took a lot of cues from Ladysmith White Mambazo.
Is that the Benedictine Chant group?
No, they sound a little bit more like that shitty opening band.
Okay, which one?
The one in quote.
The one that's called That Shitty Old.
No,
oh,
that's
their
name.
That's
yeah,
their name. Oh,
that's
wow.
How
they shared a bill a little while ago with Angry Samoans, comma, because of globalization. And also Neil Conflict Free Diamond.
that's a cover band, to be fair.
Yeah.
Even though they play only their own stuff.
Yeah. Hmm. They're a cover of their own stuff.
Yeah. But they were on that hip hop festival bill with Bushwick William,
okay.
Dr. Drew, and Kanye East, and Easy Ethan, and some asshole in Brooklyn.
I hate you.
Is that
what
a band?
Wait, is Tupaco there? Mariachi?
Tupaco truck.
Nice. Ooh, they're bringing the truck.
We haven't heard from our guests. I mean, you have the inside track on the indie community.
All right, so there's this one story that I heard about. About Dice of Life,
mm-hmm.
The band. It was the championship Dungeons and Dragons group that were like, "Fuck this, we're gonna start a band."
Just sort of a nerd rock dubstep sort of.
And I mean,
mix.
They figured they had a 1 in 100 chance of making it.
No one plays with the hundreds. D20 or die.
Exactly. But I like.
Well,
I like
two
the
10-sided
you,
die essentially.
You know?
So
not the same thing.
Well, and the thing is, even though most of their music is electronic, if you notice, they just carry a lot of acoustic guitars because they've figured out that the groupies, they don't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've kind of capitalized on that. And I find that underlying irony just like even better, you know.
That's the lead singer from Inflatable Couch, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
he's the charismatic one.
Well, he's the guy that started Horse Drawn Sailboat.
But not the same dude that did the Give Up, Go Homes.
What no, he's the cousin of Whisper Thicket.
Okay.
Oh, that's what it was.
God, I saw them live at the next to Fillmore a couple years ago.
I got their LP on vinyl, and then I threw it away because it stopped being cool the moment I bought it.
Exactly. No, that's what they wanted you to do.
Well, that's why, you know,
genius.
The Featherless Peacocks, they only record on analog. They do not do digital. They
wax
refuse.
Wax
so
right?
pure.
If, yeah. What else would you expect from the guy who fronted Graph Paper Forest?
You guys have clearly never seen Lampshade Mailbox because they don't even record music. They only play it live. Yeah.
I've heard, you know.
And they set all recordings on fire.
But, like, I heard them once, like, in a warehouse basement with, like, there was
the Partisan Celery Bible. I've been there.
Yeah, you know. You were one of the other people there. It was amazing.
I was, yeah.
It was fucking
the only other one.
Right?
Well, that's how you know it was that exclusive. You know,
they don't just invite anybody.
You have to know the password at Partisan Celery Bible just
which
to get
is?
In the door.
Which is?
The password?
Yeah.
Oh, it's sandalwood.
To be fair, the acoustics go to shit if there's more than three people in the room.
That is a fact. So you have to actually stand.
Yeah.
In one
yeah.
very specific spot.
And you'll have to face... You can't make eye contact or the sound goes away.
No, well, and...
You can't
and
face the stage. What are you, high?
Fuck.
It'll sound so shitty.
And that's going to make them feel weird. That's not cool.
So true.
You know, they already can't make eye contact. That's a given.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I just love living in San Francisco, because all the bands come through here.
But yeah, this, you know, Backyard Zoo and the Spice Pirates.
Don't talk shit on the Spice Pirates.
I love their Christmas
album. I know
album.
You meant that ironically, even though you couldn't tell because you're being absolutely non-ironic about it. But the Spice Pirates have done some good work in the community.
It's hard to know. I mean, that's part of their whole aesthetic is, you know,
double reverse irony?
It's sort of an examination of irony. It's so ironic.
Oh.
Well, so
this
you guys
getting all very navel-gazing.
You guys probably haven't seen Skydiving Sailors. But they actually don't even play music, and that's really the way that indie rock's going. Yeah, they just go and stand up on stage.
Are they part of the Stancore movement?
Yeah.
Well, it's really, I call it more quasi-hypno-shoegaze core.
Right.
If anyone would know, it would be you, Brendan. I hate you for that so much.
Yeah. Right?
No step.
Yeah, no step.
It's a cousin of dubstep.
Right.
Similar, but...
Have you guys heard the Flightless Astronauts?
Oh.
I've wanted to hear them, but they don't record music.
Well, I mean, it's... what do you consider music?
Maybe not with gravity, but in zero gravity, they record music.
Mm. It just sounds like...
They only record when they're entering or exiting Earth.
Sounds like someone peeing their pants and having it recycled as oxygen.
It's beautiful.
Well, I mean, if
it's honest. It's honest and it's true.
It's minimalist.
If it's melody you're after, you're obviously you've gone to the wrong place.
I only get the English imports. I don't even bother with the American
the
garbage.
Bootlegs?
Yeah. I don't have time for American recording fucking idiocy, right?
Well, the problem is that a lot of American recordings are just on... It's really low quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're not in space enough.
Well, and like for example, the Bathrobe Robbers,
right?
They have taken it to a whole nother level, and I mean, they have sold everything that they own, and it's just they live out of the Converse shoebox,
right?
You know, but
also they're robbing banks in bathrobes.
Yeah, no, and that's part of it.
Yeah,
it's a whole movement.
Well, it's part of the 100%. Whole aesthetic that they're going for.
Right.
Vince is. Getting really weird there.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear her, so I was trying to pick her up.
So you put us all in a tiny metal box.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm the man in the box.
I was trying to make it so it would pick up.
Hey, I'm a cocaine.
Because I've got.
Hey, let me out.
I got Leslie's mic turned all the way up. So
hey, let me sorry. Out. I'm a cocaine.
You're a cocaine.
I'm in a cocaine over
oh,
here.
Oh, you're a cocaine.
I'm in a cocaine. Let me out. It's real echoey on metal. I didn't get stuck in here. I'm real sorry. Can I come outside? I don't even know what I did, man. Let me out of the coke can. Out of the coke can, man.
Wow.
What I did to get in here.
That was enlightening because now I have so many more bands to see.
Oh, Stray Beagle Neptune?
They've never played live, and you know it, so don't fucking tease me like that.
Oh, but, you know, well, the thing is, I only listen to their B-sides, and the A-sides are just white noise.
They only release B-sides, which is rough, because that means they never actually produce an LP.
Oh, it's white noise?
They just write it on the back of people's arms.
Most of the bands that I listen to are black noise, but, I mean, whatever.
Well, that's only if you see that kind of a thing. You
know? Right, right.
I don't know, you know, it's still dark for me. Black noise.
You should probably explain that.
I just it's morbid. I'm not into the morbid thing, you know? That's not Above Ground Railroad style.
Morbid step?
They're melodic. It's more like anthemic, you know? Sing along.
Well, isn't it just children crying?
I don't like how I can hear your slacks on your new microphone. Juice, he was itching his knee. That's what went on there.
True story,
but can you please refer to them as what they are, and those are blogging slacks.
They are, but he was itching his creepy blogging knees.
True story.
And they're flaky and weird, and they pulled him back over, and you can hear it through the microphone, and you're all witness to that. He pulled it back over his flaky, creepy knees.
True story. I had to change out of my track pants that are like, you know, the glorified sweatpants that I usually wear, because they're, you know, they're a little zippy and zoppy, and you can hear them through the new microphone.
Scratch your knee right now. Yeah. That's coming through your condenser mic.
This isn't even condensed. Watch, this is when it's fully condensed.
Oh, Jesus.
It's lonely and metallic in here. Yeah. I don't want to live in here no more.
It's dark and cold in the city. It's going to rot my teeth.
It's all too much concept.
You better hope it's not a Mountain Dew can because you will melt.
I'm getting a little squirrely. Oh God, all the echoes. All
right. I look like the guy at the end of the RoboCop.
This has gone downhill. We should end this.
We've only gone uphill.
Okay.
So
that's
much like the uphill downs.
That's Lampshade Mailbox's first album.
Uphill downhill.
We can only go uphill from here.
Yeah. That's their first single.
Are there any other bands that we should know about that play maybe you know in all Koreatown right. Annex or
so
we,
I don't know
we know Boho Triangle.
I don't know if you guys even heard of them because they're pretty obscure. But the Kitten Jugglers will be here, and they actually will be juggling kittens. The noises that the kittens make that's the music.
So it's sort of a proto meta thing where
it's
they
beautiful.
Actually
yeah.
are what they do.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. I feel like it's the new thing.
Yeah.
Until it becomes the new thing, and then it will not be cool.
Well, it's part of the new earnestness.
Yeah. Yeah. So it should be pretty amazing. I mean, as long as PETA's not there again, they'll tweet.
PETA's a dickhead Swedish lady.
Second album was better than their third. That's just the honest truth.
It's pre-post ironic new earnestness.
Is that an acronym for PETA?
Yeah. Spell it, bro.
Pre earnest.
No, it's analog spelling.
You're spelling it wrong. It's actually using the Jamaican alphabet.
Yeah.
It's too ironic to be spelled correctly. It's an acronym that has no relation to the words it represents.
After the earnestness, but before the pre, it came after the postman.
Oh, the I in PETA stands for iPhone.
Well, I think we need to put this one to bed.
we're way beyond.
This is
getting ridiculous.
We're at 19 hours.
We're way beyond podcast, which was also Featherless Peacock's second album.
I feel like every week I'm like, hey, guys, let's just make this an hour.
We try.
And then what happens?
I stop paying attention after an hour, and then I snap back into attention.
And
we've gone for an hour and a half.
It's an hour and 45, yeah. What are you going to do?
Brennan, we can't all keep track of space and time as well as you do.
I keep horrible track of space and time. As soon as an hour is over, as soon as an hour is over, I just start looking at my phone. Send emails.
Zippity-doo-dah.
You kids and your... text messaging.
Close it down without breaking a sweat.
Goodbye.
That's not how
That's not. That's
good night
not.
And good chin.
No.
No, he's got to mean it.
Wait. We got to thank Burnsy.
We do it over.
And then we got to thank Burnsy. Leslie, where's your Burnsy? Show?
Oh, my show is at Cobb's Comedy Club on March 22nd.
And I got three. March 15th, the Ice House. 16th.
Is that one of those ice hotels?
It's in Pasadena.
It's not made of ice.
And
made
of ice. Saturday, March 17th, apparently Maria Bamford's going to be there at the Hollywood Improv.
So. Booyah.
It's a pretty big fucking deal, I'm not going to lie.
Are you... And then,
I applauded myself.
Yeah, you liked your own status.
Let's say, anywhere that you want people... Do you have a Twitter? Do you have anything that you want people to... No.
No. I barely participated.
Do you know
Facebook.
That email is a real thing?
Is it?
No.
That's fancy.
I just lied to your face.
What's your AOL handle? How can we contact you?
Can find me on FaceDerp, just Leslie Small.
FaceDerp?
Look for the picture.
Did you say FaceDerp? Because that is awesome.
Oh, I meant Facebook. Oh. It's just a picture of a velociraptor riding a shark for my profile picture.
Just
fucking awesome.
It's just
how I, you know, my spirit.
All right,
personified.
Brennan, now you can take us on out of here.
All right, drunkards, keep the emails coming. Frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415. 275-0030.
Some numbers.
415-275-0030.
Some shit.
Maybe hey, I remembered it.
Maybe they're letters. I don't know.
Took me
That's
a second.
Amazing. All right. Until next week, Leslie. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you,
Burnsy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you for answering for Burnsy, Brett. And until next week, good night and good chins.